you don't wear
tits out at work.
A dry, mutilated dick I'm walking around with every day.
Wow, we're back to Reddit.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. I am the host of the program. I am very, very happy to be joining you here each and every week. I would be more happy if you told your friends. Share this with your friends. Send them an email. Hey, listen to this show. You got to check this out. Recommend it. Review it on iTunes. Whatever it is. Wherever you go, whatever you do, let them know what you're listening to, and it's this. These guys talk a lot about dicks. Let's get it going. Speaking of that, I had a very important gym encounter with a dude with a tattoo that looked exactly like a fucking dick. It was not a dick, but it looked more like a dick than anything else. It looked so much like a dick that I could not, for the life of me, imagine what it was meant to be other than a dick. It even had like a glans, a tip on the end, a head, if you will. I don't know how to say it, not gross. Dick head on the end with a little hole in it, the little pee hole. So follow my Insta stories because you're going to find stuff like that there at Brian Becker. Joining me now, as always, it's Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, what's up?
Hey, so sometimes my son's soccer games are on fields where it'll be like many games going on at once, like some of the away games. So we were sharing a sideline with a completely other game, and I didn't know any of these people involved.
Yeah.
But I hear two people going on and on about, I think they, one of them was very pissed, and maybe both of them were pissed about the Roseanne firing. And they kept going on and on about the First Amendment. And that is a pet peeve of mine that people still don't, I mean, that's a pretty basic one to know.
So they were like oh, she, we should get rid of the First Amendment so she can be hauled off to the gulag. Is that what they were talking about?
Yeah. They seriously just kept being like, First Amendment. I mean, come on. What, all she says something that's not so popular and you got to fire her?
So what happened Colin to our Kaepernick's First Amendment rights? Start for the 49ers this year because of the First Amendment, right?
It's
weird how they apply it to the people they support, but they don't apply it to the people they don't support, even though they're applying it wrongly.
Right. First, she was allowed to say that. Yeah. She was allowed to out herself as a shithead, she was allowed to get fired, but nobody was talking about charges. It was never a charge issue, which is crazy because First Amendment is something you hear all the time. And people still don't realize it just has to do with going to jail. That's all it means.
Yeah. It means that they can't put you in jail for saying shit. But you can lose your job. It happens all the time. You say some shit.
I don't go up to a huge motherfucker and call him a pussy because, yeah, it's my right to say it. But there might be consequences.
100%. Yeah. I totally agree.
And I will be the other thing I want to talk about, I fully admit, I didn't watch Tony Bourdain. That was a big this weekend.
I might cry.
I know you're a big fan.
Huge.
And I know lots of people were fans, but for me, just, you know, the bad boy of cooking and stuff like that, just, it wasn't my thing.
Yep.
But it is incredibly sad. And when somebody of note commits suicide, you know, it gets lots of people talking about suicide. And much like the First Amendment, the amount of people that talked about that it was some sort of rational choice, it drives me nuts too. Like you don't choose to be depressed, and your brain doesn't like work the same as a person that's not dealing with mental health issues. It's like yeah, I chose to be white. Like no, you just that's what happened to me.
Well, it's very difficult to comprehend for anyone right. that doesn't suffer through that, because it's suicide is the it completely goes against your entire nature as a human being. What you are as a human being from the time you come out of the fucking womb, all you try to do is keep yourself alive. You right. always, it's you, you veer out of the way of hitting something with your car. You don't think about it. You don't go, hey, I don't want to die right now. You just do it because you're conditioned to keep yourself alive. So when a switch goes off in someone's brain where they go, I need to end my life. This world would be
right,
better.
The world would be better.
Without that's me in comment. It. Yeah. Because a lot of people are like, these selfish people, which it's like, it's not, you don't get a fucking $100 million for killing yourself. There's not something selfish about it. It's
you could call somebody selfish if they, I mean, even though it is a mental health, right. if they were bringing down people. Like sure. the guy in San Diego that took out an entire McDonald's and then himself.
Right.
That yeah. you could say that's a selfish act of a piece of shit, even though he was deranged.
But
but somebody killing himself, whether yeah. or not they have loved ones, that's not their brain is not working that way. And just Saturday night we had a barbecue with some friends.
I saw some people dancing, and you were just out of frame, and I feel like you were very uncomfortable with the whole situation. But I don't want to sidetrack you.
I was incredibly uncomfortable, and I walked away. I walked away.
I really wish you were just barely out of frame.
One person that was a little into dancing, and three other people that were shit faced.
I just really, really wanted to see the discomfort on your face, even just for a second. I was waiting to pause. I'm like, oh, she's just gonna get his face in there for a second. I'm gonna click the pause and see it.
Oh, get the fuck out of there.
I didn't get it.
Anyway,
yes, you were having a discussion.
One of those guys, his wife is a psychiatrist, and so I off and on for over the span of a couple hours, we're talking about. The her field in general and
those kind of conversations.
Suicide, like just what it all, and she said the numbers increase, especially after an event like this. It's there'll be more because all some people need is just the littlest suggestion that yeah, this is the next step for you.
I saw you're not the first person I've heard say that it actually. It gives people the notion that, hey, it's, I can do it. Like it emboldens them to say, fuck. Yeah. It's okay for me to do it too. If he did it, I can do it.
I have no evidence whatsoever. I haven't heard anyone say this, but you never know if Kate Spade 2 days earlier, 1 day earlier was the final piece of information sure. that finally is like, well, I guess I should do this too.
Yeah.
But you don't know. But ultimately when you hear people saying, man, this is so selfish. You know, he had a, what do you have, a son or a daughter?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that would be if you were of sound mind right, and didn't have your mind torturing you.
That's somebody with the way, that's how somebody views it with a rational brain. Somebody right. that can't comprehend that level of despair. And it's, and what people don't realize that it's an illness because they don't, it's not
because they don't have it.
Yeah. And it's not apparent to you when somebody is afflicted with this. So if somebody dies after a long bout with cancer, you don't go, oh, that was fucking selfish. Like you should have hung in there a little bit longer, fought off that fucking cancer. Just get up and fucking get out of the house and go just not have cancer. Like you don't need to have cancer.
You don't want it.
Your kids are counting on you to not have cancer.
Right.
And that's sounds absurd. But depression is this fucking weight that people carry that we can't see, that we don't know about, that we don't understand, and they live with it every day and they fight with it, and it sort of comes and goes. They have highs and lows, but the lows are so unfathomably easy for me to say low that these, you know, people are stricken to their bed for months, weeks, years at a time even, and right. It can't be explained, and they can't fucking level out their brain chemistry and exercise and diet and all these things. They just don't know. They just don't know how to fix it and even how to diagnose it a lot of times. So it's hard for people to comprehend, and it sucks, and it's everywhere, and it's somebody you know, and it's one of those things where they're like, oh, you know, check in on people and, you know, maybe you can keep them from, you know, having that fleeting thought, because it is something like they say they'll think about it, but if they resist the urge, then the thought will go away. And they talk about people that jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and is,
oh, that movie, The Bridge.
Yeah. And people survive that. And to a man, every single one of them says the same thing. The moment I stepped off the bridge, I realized my life wasn't that bad. I realized that I could overcome this. I realized I had made a mistake. And that's all these people. It's an intense hurt that can go away if these people
but it comes in waves.
Get helped. Yeah, it comes in waves. And I mean, proud Jersey boy Anthony Bourdain might not have been your cup of tea, but for me, the guy, I
just was indifferent to his show, but right. I didn't have a problem. It wasn't like a show that I have a problem with, yeah. that I don't want to see Ryan Seacrest because yeah. he bothers me.
Right.
I just didn't particularly care yeah. about
he,
the show.
To me, I was just comforted that he existed in the world because he was this beautiful writer and he was this incredibly
curious guy, right?
Inquisitive person that just approached every day with this just sort of vigor for life. Like he just, hey, let's go to this place and check it out and see what the people are like and we'll eat their food and learn about them. And then he would just, you know, he narrated all the episodes and he wrote all the episodes and they were just beautifully written in his book. You know, he was kind of like a sort of sardonic, but also thoughtful writer. He had a sort of a Hunter S. Thompson vibe about him where he was really funny at the same time. I just, you know, I followed him on Instagram and I was just always just so comforted that he was there. I don't know. He was just this fucking presence. I don't remember I read his books and stuff. I don't remember the first time I heard of him, or I don't know how he came to be somebody that was important to me, but I just always felt like he's around. And I was so fucking bummed that he died.
Yeah,
and
he used to reference him a lot.
Yeah, that just like that he
came up a lot.
Yeah, just that his life, you know, I woke up in the morning and I had a text about it and I was like, wait, he fucking died? And, you know, I texted the person back and they're like, yeah, he died. And I was like, you know, maybe he had a fucking, you know, aneurysm or fucking hit by a truck or just something tragic. I literally could not believe that he committed suicide. I just didn't, it was just so beyond the realm of possibility for this man's life. I just couldn't believe it. And that just goes to show it's happiness is a thing that's just is. It's not, it doesn't come through experience or.
And some people just, yeah, they just don't find peace.
Yeah. I mean, he was, it's just such a bummer. I don't know.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing when I heard he was dead at 61, I was thinking he's so young, but then when you hear it's suicide, you think, man, that is a long time to be living without peace. I don't know when suicidal thoughts started crossing his mind, but yeah. 61, that's a grind if you're, totally. You're still fighting until then.
Like, and you know what's interesting is if you look, you know, there's so many, like you open any news site and there's just all the top viewed stories are about him because he was just he was around so much and so many people were into him. And you look at the pictures of him and over the years and in his like 30s, 40s, he just kind of looks like shit. At 60 years old, the guy looked better than right. he'd ever looked in his entire life. Like he's super tan. He's in good shape. He's doing jujitsu every day. He's got practically no body fat. Like it just seemed like everything was fucking working out for the guy in his life. And yet he was living a life of despair and unhappiness and loneliness and depression. And it's just a huge bummer. And I would encourage anybody to go check, just read his writing, his essays, You know, it's not, you don't have to be into food or anything because he talks about culture, but he views it through the prism of food and the kitchen where, you know, cause that was his life. And I don't know, he was the man. Oh, and also I tried to bait this fucking cunt into a, Twitter fight, but he wouldn't take the bait. Cause I was so emotional and I'm a pussy. You guys can call me pussy and everything. I was really, really emotional about Anthony Bourdain's passing, and I saw somebody, I don't know how I saw it. I heard about it, or somebody, I think Fancy Sauce might have said, hey, did you hear about Moby? That little fucking cunt Moby. Fuck you, Moby.
So I didn't know it, there was a reason to have a strong opinion on that.
Me either. I didn't either. Moby is a vegan. And so to him, there wasn't really a reason to mourn or admire Anthony Bourdain, because Anthony Bourdain was a carnivore. And he would go to places where they would, they would bring, one time he went to, Africa, and they brought him, I can't remember if it was a goat or a pig, but it was like a great honor for him to be the one that got to kill the pig, or I could be saying this wrong, but I'm on the right track. And it was, he was doing what this was the culture there. It's not for him to fucking go to Kenya and sit amongst the tribesmen and go, oh, hey, fuck you guys. What are you guys doing eating this pig? Like, don't you know this is wrong? This is, you know, and he loved foie gras, and he went. So one time he went to France to where they like raise the ducks, and they're like, hey, they say this is inhumane. And they show that because they overfeed the ducks to make their livers fat. And they're like, they say this is inhumane. And he's like, look, and they just it like takes a second. They like shove this thing in their mouth and it makes them swallow a whole bunch of grain all at once. But he didn't invent that fucking thing. He just happened to love the taste of foie gras. And if anybody within the sound of my voice has tasted it, they understand. So fuck, Moby said something so fucking cunty and I forgot. And it's not in front of me right now. And for that, I apologize. But I just want to say.
But it was like, well, who cares?
Yeah, now I gotta find it. Just give me 2 seconds. I'm gonna find it right now. It's gonna be in my Twitter because I retweeted it. Of course, my computer's all slow right now, my Mac. And I go to that thing on my Mac where it's like about this Mac. I'm like, why is it running so slow? And so you go look and see, now it's not even open. You go to look at storage and you're like, what's on this thing? And it says it's like almost full. And one thing it's full of.
I get it all the time.
Yeah. One thing it's full of is backups. I don't want any backups. How do I get rid of that? One, how do I get rid of these backups? Two, there's something called other, because there's 98 gigs of audio. There's some movies on there, apps, photos, all those things are accounted for. What the fuck is this 100 something gigs of other? I want rid of it. How do I get rid of it and backups? Because it's taken up half my hard drive. Okay, what was I saying? Moby, this fucking cunt. Hold on. I'm going to find this fucking asshole right now.
I know you're no Eminem fan, but whenever I hear Moby's name, I think of when Eminem trashed him.
They got in a fight, yes. He said...
It's over. Nobody listens to techno is the end of that line.
He said, that fucking Moby got rich just at the right time, too. Like, he had one album right at the end of when people were still buying albums in the late 90s. And it's
so electronic music.
Yeah. It had one song on it, and the guy made a fucking $1 zillion. And now he can, because he's in a position in the world where he can fucking eat peas and bulgur weed and fucking cucumbers all the time, that he's somehow better than people that consume meat. And guess what? The only reason we exist is because we consume meat. We were fucking Neanderthal hunting and gathering barely, but then we learned how to cook meat and suddenly our fucking brains grew huge and we got mad smart. That's the only reason that you're allowed to be vegan, you little bitch, is because we fucking ate meat. Your ancestors ate meat that made us smart enough for you to be a fucking vegan, cocksucker. Okay, he said, I simply have no patience for anyone who mocks another's suffering or who believes that another's suffering is less than their own. And he was, that was like a subtweet to Bourdain and his, because he had said some other stuff about him before. So fuck Moby. Fuck you forever, Moby. You're a fucking little bitch. A man died, and just because he ate a different kind of food than you doesn't mean that he was more, his death is any less sad than someone who chooses not to eat meat. Go fuck yourself.
Right. Speaking of vegans,
yes.
So this barbecue was out of control in terms of not in terms of being like a wild party.
I'm totally Michelle okay with anybody that wants to be vegan, by the way. Go on.
Right. Michelle invited just so many people, an insane amount of people. And
well, it's getting to be summer. It's fun. People are outside. The weather's nice. That's barbecue.
One family, they're all vegan. She brings vegan dogs and vegan burgers. Now,
can they touch the grill?
Well, that was the thing. I could see her sort of eyeballing the grill. And look, it's gonna share space with the burgers and dogs.
Right. But stuff cooks off. I mean, come on.
Yeah, but those vegan dogs, I don't know. How can you know when it's cooked?
Yeah, there's no grease in it.
It's so weird looking. Yeah. And it's a very odd thing. And I wasn't sure what to do, so I just kind of kept it on there for a period of time. And then it changed colors from like an orange to a green. You know, it's not like the color of any food you've ever eaten. And I don't have a problem with that. I was not going to change the whole day around or change the grill formulation set up for the a few things. But you know, I didn't have a problem cooking it. But I had no idea what was done and what wasn't.
No, you just throw it on there for a few minutes, and then it's just like. Kind of here you go. It's weird that they have to, that vegans eat things that they make things shaped into meat shapes. It's kind
of right. Like a hot dog. I mean, that's not a shape of anything, but it's weird that you would want it resembling a hot dog.
It's kind
of at least the burger patty.
Yeah,
kind of thing. I get that a little more because it's just it's functional like a sandwich size, but the dog is odd to me.
It's like it's kind of like lesbians who I also endorse. Who they're like, we have no need for men. We love women. We're only into women. Honey, strap on that big black dick and shove it in my ass. You know, it's like
sort of like that.
It's I don't know. Maybe not the same
hot dog shape. I mean, there is a shape. We're kind of going with the same shape. So I'll give you that.
Yes. I don't know. It's just like, it's, if you're not into meat, you don't have to eat vegetables shaped into meats. That's all.
And there
I'm
was
saying.
Other stuff there.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Yeah. There was, have a salad.
Right.
I mean, I fancy a good salad. I don't mind a salad at all. I love it. Hey, people that follow me on Instagram, hold on.
Could have a shower right before bed, or maybe take an Uber and get some Roadhead on my Insta story. Don't be boring on my Instagram.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a little loud. That might clip out on the playback. I often make salad stories. See, you're missing
that sounds
out on,
great.
You're missing that out sounds so much, Ed. There's. One time
you know, it's funny. You made an Instagram story this weekend because you mentioned it earlier in the show.
Yeah.
But you knew I wouldn't see it. You sent me the picture of that guy with the dick tattoo.
No, it was yesterday at the gym. It was I made the video, and while I was standing there next to the guy, I sent you the video, and I was like, "Look at this!" Because it was too good to be true.
Moved around, it looked even more dick-like.
It looks the guy's. Tattoo looks so much like a dick that I could not figure out what it was meant to be other than a dick. I mean, obviously it's not a dick. It's got kind of like a skull head.
There was some stuff around it, but it was clearly a penis.
It almost looked like the nose of something, like an elephant trunk maybe, but it was looked, it had a tip. It had a cock tip on the end.
Seemed like he lost a bet.
It was really weird. It was right there on his arm, and he was...
And he's showing it off.
Right, he was in a sleeveless...
He could have covered it with a regular t-shirt.
Right, all he had to do was wear a regular t-shirt. And I was a little worried because, I mean, I did... Like, I saw that guy at the gym. There's potential that I could see him again, and there's potential that someone locally could see that on my Instagram and go, hey, I know that guy, and like alert him to my presence. But it was just
You'd be like that playmate who recorded the he was showing off his sleeve. This was not a shower situation.
I didn't do anything below board. Okay, one more thing before
he
we
wanted
get
to flaunt his dick tattoo. So weird. And you helped him flaunt it.
He's so proud of that dick tattoo. It's shocking.
He wore a sleeveless shirt, so why would he have a problem with you posting it online?
Unbelievable. Okay, one more thing. I was reading, for some reason, I don't know why I was reading this. I never read about sports. But I was reading about how a story on The Big Lead, shout out to The Big Lead, about how the play for the Celtics might be to trade Kyrie Irving. And I'm like, well, let's get him over the Lakers. That's what got me into reading the story. But then there was this quote in the story. And I just want to see what you think of it. Here's the quote: to add fuel to the fire. Oh, so they were saying, hey, he didn't even really show up to their playoff games because he was injured. But it was like, usually, even if you're injured, you sit there in your suit and you're,
he wasn't even there.
Yeah, I guess he wasn't there. So listen to this: to add fuel to the fire, Irving was absent from the Celtics sideline for much of the playoffs, including the Eastern Finals. At the end of the playoff run, he got an elective surgery on his face.
What?
And missed game 7. Are we dealing with a diagonal sleeper here? Like, is what?
That seems like an odd time to schedule.
He got a nose job or an eye job or something? Yeah. Like elective face surgery? I mean, there's only a couple of those, right?
Yeah, there's just, yeah, shave off a little bit on his chin. Yeah,
did he have a bump on his nose? Like, what is that all about? An elective face surgery? I need an I-team investigation. Somebody's got to get to the bottom of this. What the fuck did Kyrie Irving
might be dribbling out of bounds, huh?
Yes. I mean, early botanist, potentially. It's a very, yeah, very interesting thing. It's a curious thing to know about anybody.
A little too much chimney sweeping, man.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I can't make that golf round on Sunday. Oh, what's going on? It's not a big deal. I'm having elective surgery on my face. It's a very weird thing.
Basketball is a team sport. That's a real dick move. The most important game of the year, and you can't even cheer for your guys.
Yeah, you got to be with the guys. You're part of a team.
That's why I always hated Jack Morris. He wouldn't go to away games. He'd only show up.
True. That was the 80s.
Pretty sure. Well, he also had awful statements to women, but he was definitely a guy that like only showed up on game day.
Maybe even
in the World Series, I think.
He's also a guy who just recently, I think maybe even this year, made the Hall of Fame based on one Game 7 start in the World Series. He had one really good start in the World Series, and then you look at his career and you're like, oh, he's like a slightly better than average pitcher.
He's stat compiler guy.
Yeah, well, he's in the Hall of pretty good. He's like definitely not in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the wing with the Negro, Phil Negro, yes, and all the Bert Blyleven, exactly, all those guys.
Yeah, Blyleven hung on. I think Blyleven won like 298 games or something. Like, he came pretty close to 300. At least I think Don Sutton got 300, but he had to hang around and get a bunch of 8-win seasons for the last 9 years.
Nobody showed up, bought tickets because Don Sutton was in town.
No, definitely not. Speaking of buying tickets, and speaking of heroic sports figures, this is a guy that acted on his conscience. This is a guy that was at the fucking top of the game when his game was the biggest fucking game in the world. And he made a choice because it was something that he believed very firmly in. and it cost him a good chunk of the prime of his career and really almost cost him everything. What's going on with Muhammad Ali? Cassius Clay.
Yeah. One thing to also think about when people are discussing the move of him being the conscientious objector, he could have gone and gotten some bullshit assignment.
Oh, just like Elvis. Elvis. It was he would not have gone.
Oh, you'll be in Germany. You'll be in Germany during the Korean War.
No, they only send poor people to die in combat. They don't send famous Muhammad Ali was making champions.
Yeah. Lots of white guys, lots of money.
Of course.
He was not going anywhere to get hurt.
Nope.
But it did inspire one of the great George Carlin routines.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't want to kill, we're not going to let you fight. So before this will tie into our current administration, but before helping Kim Jong-un make propaganda videos this weekend, former game show host Donald Trump went a little pardon crazy last week. He pardoned former game show contestants like Rod Blagojevich and Martha Stewart.
Blagojevich did get pardoned? I thought he was just talking about doing
it. He was just bandying the name about?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I don't think he actually pardoned it. He said he might. I might.
Nobody liked that guy.
No.
Nobody did. And he was a Democrat, so it's not like there was some sort of political angling for this. It's because he was on his game show.
Right. Also, they got him on tape. He's like, hey.
Oh, he was a huge piece of shit trying to sell Obama's.
What are you
going to
give me?
They can see.
Yeah.
And then he also talked about he asserted his right to pardon himself.
Yeah.
And then he talked about pardoning the late Muhammad Ali like he did with Jack Johnson after Rocky convinced him to do it.
Right.
Here's a quote. He was not very popular then. Certainly his memory is popular now, Trump said. He was thinking, quote, very seriously about pardoning Ali as well as
He was not very popular then. He was the most popular athlete in the world.
But it is true. He was the most hated man in America when he because Vietnam
was to go. Yeah.
People were pro Vietnam until like 71.
Right.
Then they look back and they're thinking,
hey, what the fuck are we doing over there?
No, making no sense. We're losing. This is terrible. But it took a long time. And he's considering very seriously about pardoning Ali as well as other folks that have some sentences that aren't fair. Now, there's one small problem with that. Muhammad Ali's record is completely clean. Ali's former attorney, Ron Tweel, responded, "We appreciate President Trump's sentiment, but a pardon is unnecessary," Tweel said in a statement. "There is no conviction for which a pardon is needed." Now, Brian, do you think Frederick Douglass will soon see a pardon from the Oval Office before he dies?
That could be next. Like if it gets headlines,
I've heard he's a good guy.
I'll give it to Trump. Like none of this shit sticks to him. Like that wasn't like the eighth dumbest thing he did that week.
A day.
Yeah. Like it's,
and Trump would have hated Ali.
Think about
the Kaepernick, all the NFL protests.
Course,
that was nothing compared to what Ali was doing.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for Trump in that sense where he just says the stupidest fucking shit and he just keeps on moving like nothing sticks to him. Nothing.
He's failed forward.
Right.
Entirely.
Nobody cares, but he has read the room. Like he gets this part of it and all of us are fucking way behind. He is ahead of the game where he's like, I'm going to say whatever the fuck I want because it's going to land on the ears of the right people. And the people that fucking support him are sucking his dick every single fucking day. He's more popular than he's ever been. And we're the fucking dummies. We that sit here and go, oh, I can't believe he did that shit. I can't believe he said that shit. What? It benefits him. Like saying he's going to pardon Muhammad Ali, has no crime to be pardoned from. It's that like we think that's stupid. Everyone else that looks at him and goes, oh, this fucking guy's amazing because nothing sticks to the man. I'm on board with Donald Trump, obviously.
Great guy.
He's my
guy.
Best.
Yeah. He's making deals. He's doing great things.
Huge deals.
I will point out. I think Ali is one of the more commendable sports heroes in history.
For sure.
However, he was a real piece of shit to Joe Frazier, who was a good guy, helped him out when he was down,
Lend him money.
Treated him, called him a gorilla, called him Uncle Tom. Not cool.
Yeah, I think he got caught up in the character of himself a lot, right. And that's unfortunate.
Right. Joe Frazier was a good man.
Yeah, he was a good dude.
All right, let's go over to baseball. And as things tend to do, the nerds kind of took over. It got a little out of hand on a baseball-centric Facebook group called Effectively Wild. A guy named Dan Mancini posted a poll saying, the Nationals are 35-25, the Braves are 36-26, and the Cubs are 34-24. These teams are, choice A was 10 games over 500, choice B was 5 games over 500.
Okay, oh, I get it.
So one guy correctly pointed out that each team would have to lose 10 straight games to get to 500, right. So they are 10 games over 500.
Yeah, that would be, and that's the conventional
that's
wisdom.
Correct.
Change
that's
my correct. Mind, Ed. Uh-oh. Change my mind.
And some nerd named Dan Mulligan stepped in and wrecked everything. Baseball convention says 10. My math major mind says 5.
Oh, no.
Then the situation devolved into a discussion from nerds arguing that games above 500 could either mean how many more wins the sample teams have than a 500 team that has played the same number of total games, which is 5, or can mean how many games it would take for the sample teams to fall to 500 if they lost every game. Brian, why are some people such terrible conversationalists?
It really like shuts down the thing. I don't think like Dan Mulligan.
They should just deactivate that entire baseball page.
Dan Mulligan, he probably killed it in math major, but I don't think he's killed it with the ladies in life. That's just a guess.
No.
And also
his math major mind.
One of us here in this conversation got an 800 or close to an 800 on the math portion of their SAT. So are you inclined to agree with Dan Mulligan's math mind, Ed?
10 games over 500. Yes. It's not even a question.
Right. It's 50%. Like 500 is 50, 500
would be 25-25.
Yeah.
And then you win 10 games and you're 35-25.
Yep. 10 games over.
If you're at 35-25, you would have to lose 10 games to get back to 500.
I saw.
It's not even a question.
I saw there was an argument. Okay, this is embarrassing, but I follow Keith Olbermann on Twitter. Here's the thing. I follow people briefly and then I just never unfollow them. And I'm not real active on Twitter, but I did see a retweet from Keith Olbermann.
And he's a smart guy. So
he's a smart guy, but he's a douche.
He's a douche, but I suppose you could get some interesting facts.
And someone I know that's met him said he is like low key super obese, but he hides it really well with like the suits he wears and the angles that they get him. Like, I think he's just has that kind of fat where it's like all really around the gut. He doesn't carry it in the face. And I can't attest to this, but it's, if anybody's out there, anybody gets close to Keith Olbermann in the New York City area, let me know if he's real fat. But what I was going to say is there was a debate, and I don't know where I fall on this. Striking out the side. Does that mean that you retire 3 up, 3 down, all via strikeout? Or does that mean that every out made, the 3 outs made in the inning are all made by strikeout? And I'm inclined to say striking out the side, if you strike out all 3 outs in your half of the inning, isn't that striking out the side? No.
That's what
change my mind.
To me, you got to strike out all the batters you face.
That's striking out the side. The side is 3 up, 3 down.
Because if you give up 2 home runs, but you have 3 strikeouts, you struck out the side. That just means you got 3 outs via strikeout. Striking out the side means like when they go into the commercial break and they see coming up these 3 batters, those 3 guys struck out.
Right, striking out
that's,
the side.
That's what it means to me.
I think I was with, because you're with Keith Olbermann, and I think I had always thought of it. Well, I'll be honest. I think about cool stuff mostly, so I had never really thought of this. So I was kind of, the way it was presented, I was like, well, it's striking out the side. You get all 3 guys via strikeout. But then you and Keith Olbermann put it the other way, and I think I've been bent to that way of thinking. 3 up, three down, all by strikeout. That's striking out the side.
Just think of striking out the side. Sounds like you did something great. Yeah. If you gave up three runs in a half inning, it's not great. Or in an inning's worth of work, not a half inning.
Right.
In an inning's worth of work, that's not great. So striking out the side should only be under a great situation.
Agreed. That's the most sports we've ever
seen. Yeah, I'm getting a little lightheaded.
Yes.
Okay. Let's go into a sort of sport.
Okay.
CrossFit.
I mean, those guys are in good shape, but here
it is great athleticism, but it's, yeah.
Have you ever, well, to quote Kenny Powers, I play real sports like baseball. I ain't trying to be the best at exercising. If you've ever caught, like, I will tune in if the CrossFit game, it's kind of like World's Strongest Man. If you're at a bar and CrossFit games are on, you're watching it.
I like that kind of shit in the background.
So those guys are in amazing shape, but these CrossFitters, it's such a religion to these people because what they don't want to admit is that the guys that compete in the CrossFit games are fucking juicing more than Jose Canseco in his prime. Like, these guys are on so many fucking Diana balls and triazolols and Winstrols and HGH and.
But just the average Joe guys.
Yeah.
When, there are a bunch of CrossFit gyms in Hoboken.
Yeah.
And one of them is right next to a supermarket that I sometimes walk to, like two blocks away.
Yeah.
So I'll just be walking down the sidewalk and they'll be doing like their run with the brick or whatever they're doing.
Yeah. Yes.
And they're all put out that I'm using their workout sidewalk.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Buddy.
This is me and Hoboken Jesus sidewalk too.
Yeah. This belongs to me too. Fuck off.
It is very cultish and, I mean, it's a fucking killer workout because you almost die every time. But if you're a guy like me in your 40s, you're for sure going to get hurt doing that. Like, it's not a little too heavy duty.
And one of my good friends does it, and he has said in the past, oh, you would love it. You know, being with other people in your group really motivates you. Yeah. And I have to keep saying, you do know that my least favorite thing in the world is to have somebody cheering me on or working out with someone. Like, that's as solitary an effort as I have in life.
You're like, you do know you're talking to Edward Daly, right?
Yeah. I don't like being cheered on. I want to be by myself with my headphones on. Yeah. I don't want to hear anybody's voice.
Yeah. What's going on at CrossFit?
So check out this title, which almost derails the whole story. CrossFit Chief Knowledge Officer.
Oh my God.
Russell Berger took to Twitter recently to express his support for a CrossFit gym in Indianapolis that chose to cancel an LGBT event this week that was planned for Pride Month. Now here's his quote. As someone who personally believes celebrating Pride is a sin, I'd like to personally encourage hashtag CrossFit Infiltrate for standing by their convictions and refusing to host an indie pride workout. The intolerance of the LGBTQ ideology toward any alternative views is mind-blowing, he added. The tactics of some in the LGBTQ movement toward dissent is an existential threat to freedom of expression. The lack of tolerance for disagreement, which has been replaced with bullying Twitter mobs promising consequences, should be concerned regardless of your political stance.
Right.
As expected, this little tweet storm went over like a turd in a punch bowl. Berger was given the boot Wednesday, just hours after the homophobic Twitter rant.
Oh, good.
And
what about the First Amendment?
CrossFit CEO Greg Glassman, in an interview with BuzzFeed News, said he needs to take a big dose of shut the fuck up and hide out for a while.
Well, it sounds like he was a real douche around the office. Like, if this guy was beloved, this Greg Glassman, who invented CrossFit, would be like, hey, listen, you know, he's got some views and we're going to do some diversity training. But when they just come out and go, hey, you're fucking fired. And oh, by the way, you need to shut the fuck up. And they say that publicly. Well, he was a douche. Like, they've been looking to get rid of him for a while.
Exactly. So I think this is a good time to examine some stuff. Brian, while that chief knowledge officer is having that dose of shut the fuck up in solitude, will he be living a pure life or will he be a sinner for doing things like cutting his hair, mingling linen and woolen, eating from a mixed garden, touching dogs, drinking alcohol, being around immodestly dressed women, masturbating or pulling out or using a condom?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's they pick and choose, you know? They want to be pious some days. You can't celebrate pride. Don't have pride is a sin or something, but the other shit they forget about.
Right. There's a million rules, but they hang on to the homosexuality thing. That one line in the 500 page book or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, exactly. Just let people be, like, be prideful. Have some pride.
In the story, I clicked on, I guess, a link to his Twitter.
Yeah.
And
Russell something.
Yeah. Burger. And the first tweet that was there was a Washington Post story about it. Yeah. And it says something like, I've given my one statement to the Washington Post. Please refer to this as my answer. And I read the Post story and his statement was like a one sentence thing that just said, oh, they're sinners.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Imagine it's cool to have your beliefs or whatever, but just imagine.
What's the point of that?
That you're just so much better because the God you chose, somebody wrote a book, you know, 4,000 years later after the God you chose bounced. And it said something about men should not lay with men or whatever. And you've held on to that for so long. And now you look at the modern world and you go, oh no, I'm better than these people. Like, I look around and I see these people and they chose to be that. Like, I don't know about you, Ed, but I'm pretty into like titties, butts.
Butts can be.
I like
either way.
I mean, I like pretty much every part of the woman, like top to bottom. And that was never like really a choice for me. I never had a discussion with myself where I'm like, all right, fucking 12 years old. Fired up.
What am I going to do?
Could go one direction or the other. Just, I think I'm going to be into chicks and that's just, I'm going to stick to it. And you know,
I forget which comedian. I think it's Ted Alexandro when he was talking about homosexuality as a choice, and he said, "If an airline says, well, if you want to fly to Indianapolis, you have the choice of taking a layover in Chicago. That's a choice.
Yeah.
But if somebody tells you on the way to Vagina, you have a choice if you want to stop at Penis World. Yeah. You're not doing that. That's not a choice.
No, it's so dumb." Ed, speaking of people, meat eaters, some guy, and I probably should have read this before, but I want to see, it feels like a Germany sort of thing. So I'm just going to guess Germany and then I'm going to start reading. I'll just read the headline. This guy served his friends tacos made from his own amputated leg. Quote, one friend had to spit me into a napkin. Now, Ed, I've been spit out before, but it wasn't my flesh. If you could taste human flesh in an ethical way, would you? No. End of story.
Nope.
It's the kind of question you ask after watching Silence of the Lambs stoned. No matter how you respond, you never expect anyone to hold you to your answer. But in a recent Reddit post, always the dregs of the universe are going. Somebody's like, you got to promote your podcast on Reddit. And I'm like, how do you even do that? And like, is it, Are they going to come after me? What goes on over there? I'm terrified by it. Someone shared a story of a motorcycle crash that put him face to face with the hypothetical that no one has ever discussed. When a car hit his bike and sent him careening into a nearby forest, his foot was shattered to the point that he would never walk on it again. When the doctor asked if he wanted to amputate, his one question was, can I keep it? This can't be real. The doctor said yes on Sunday, July 10th, 2016, 3 weeks after the accident. Would he keep it in a freezer?
No.
Did he age it? Did he take?
I think did he froze
like,
it.
Did he go to like
frozen
Peter Luger's where they aged the steaks 28 days or whatever? He prefers to remain anonymous, invited 10 of his most open-minded friends to a special brunch. They ate apple strudel, quiche, puff pastries, fruits, tarts. This is very – this is all desserts except for the quiche and chocolate cake.
Wait, he's gay, right?
I don't know. I don't know. Why did you say that? Because quiche.
Apple strudel.
Apple strudel. It's a delicious –
I'm just saying
pastry.
A couple of buddies.
Yeah. Hey guys, come over for a strudel.
I'm gonna go whip up some apple strudel.
hey Rocco, why don't you come by my place this weekend? I'm making a strudel.
Oh, I got strudel and quiche on. What do you got?
it's getting worse. I
love a good quiche. They,
but also, he was riding a motorcycle, so it's I don't know. I don't know if it's it fits the stereotype. They drank gin lemonade, punches, and mimosas. Yep.
Right. Well, you still want to take the other side on this one?
And then the main course came out. Fajita tacos made from his severed human limb. The United States doesn't have a federal law banning cannibalism. Idaho is the only state in which the simple act of eating human flesh can land you in prison. Laws against murder, buying and selling human meat, and corpse desecration make cannibalism difficult, but technically legal in the other 49 states. Ed, how would your barbecue guests feel knowing that their veggie burgers were grilled on the same grill as a human foot?
This is why, although the story says his friends were on board with it.
Yeah, they were into it.
His 10 open-minded friends. Can you imagine if a buddy floated that idea? Hey, I'm going to whip up my foot for everybody to eat tonight. You in? That's the end of the friendship.
Yeah.
That's like a buddy saying, hey, I'm going to go fuck a cow. You know, we've done stories in the past where like, two guys are caught fucking a cow.
Yeah.
So somebody had to approach the other guy and say, hey, let's go manhandle.
It's always a little weird when two human brains agree to something like so preposterous and horrible.
You had 10 guys. Sure, they were drunk off of their mimosas and fruity drinks, but this is reason number one why I don't eat baked goods. Yeah. I do have friends that I could trust.
Right.
But for example, this barbecue this weekend, somebody had brought what looked like a delicious platter of brownies, but I wasn't sure where it came from, so I had to pass. I passed on the brownies because I wasn't sure which family brought them.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Like you're concerned about the cleanliness of certain people's domiciles or what's the, I mean, brownies, delicious.
I love brownies, but I don't do just random baked goods. I need to know which family it came from. Now, half the people there, I've probably eaten dinner at their house. I trust, but there's some people I met that day.
Yeah. And so you just don't know.
Their kids are in our class. Like, I don't know these people. I'm not eating their shit.
Yeah. What?
Somebody could be bringing a piece of, oh, I had a toe amputated. I thought I'd put it in brownies.
I mean, I don't think that's very likely, Ed.
Not likely, but guess what? I haven't eaten human body parts.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I eat whatever at anybody's house. If it looks good, I'm eating it. But I'm pretty sure I haven't consumed any body parts either.
And I show, I'm like a casino pit boss. I show everybody what's coming out, what's going on the grill. I don't have a secret Tupperware that I'm pulling out ingredients. They can see I'm just doing it by the book.
Yeah. You're trustworthy. Like, people know there's not going to be a toe in your pasta.
There might have been in the salad somebody brought. I'm not going to find out.
Yeah, you don't know 100%. Ed, this next story, it reminds me, we never discussed the New Jersey superintendent who was the school superintendent who was shitting daily on a high school track. Do you remember this story?
My brother-in-law used to work with that guy.
Yeah, we were discussing.
And he said he wasn't well liked.
We didn't talk about it. I think it was a week that we like did a movie or something, and right. So it didn't come up. But apparently
he was going to a high school track and every morning taking a dump.
Well, I think he would do a morning run.
Right.
And it would hit him. And sometimes that does happen when you're running. And I'm not going to pretend it hasn't happened to me on a run, because it has.
Not every day. It has for me as well.
Yeah. Not daily.
But the fact that you could set your watch to this meant it was an act of aggression.
Yeah. So, well, apparently it doesn't happen just in suburban New Jersey. Also, this guy was a pretty young guy, and he was a superintendent of a school district, which I believe pays like $1.50 a year. Like, it's not. Also, usually you have to be like a PhD to get a job like that. So this guy was a professional. Yeah,
it's dude. Good. It's a good gig.
It's a good gig, and it's a like a lifetime gig, and it's like real good benefits. You work for the school district. Like, shit's going pretty good for you if you've achieved superintendent of a big school district. Anyway, we never talked about that, but now there's another one. Australia, where they're just wild down there. They're feral, basically.
It's Thunderdome.
Man dubbed Australia's poo jogger resigns from corporate role. Again, this is another sting operation of a jogger, Ed. A Brisbane corporate manager who is alleged to be a serial public defecator after being photographed with his pants down on a suburban street has quit his job. Andrew Douglas McIntosh, 64, was dubbed the poo jogger after a story in the newspaper generated enormous interest from the internet. Here's the thing. This is what happens. The same thing happens to serial killers. Once the media gets hold of it, they're going to catch you. Like, people are going to know who you are, especially if there's some video.
Once you hear people just asking around,
yeah, it's,
you got to stop.
You got to move. First, you got to stop. Then maybe change your appearance, change up your routine, because people are going to figure out who it is. McIntosh was also a member of the Brisbane Council Advisory Board, which I don't know, sounds like city council or something. He came to the attention of police after a sting operation by a local resident who set out to catch a jogger suspected of relieving himself on the footpath outside an apartment block more than 30 times. McIntosh was photographed on 11 May outside the Logan Road block in the Southside suburb of Greenslopes. He has been charged with one count of public nuisance. His former employer confirmed in a statement that McIntosh had resigned. The guy's lost his job. This is an affliction, right, Ed? Like, this is at least the third serial shitter we've talked about. Remember that one lady in Colorado? I don't think.
Oh, right.
And they had good video of her. I don't think she was ever caught, to my knowledge.
No, but it's a thing now.
Yeah.
What was they never ask, maybe because these guys are just hiding behind lawyers, but I never seemed to get the answer of what was the end game.
Well, it has to be a compulsion, right? It's like, you just, there's something about it. You picking, have to do
you're
it.
You're picking a specific spot.
Yeah. It's
you're choosing. That's an act of aggression.
It really is.
So, like, what were you like doing?
You're mad at those apartments or something. Or someone that lives there. Like, you have something going on in your brain where you associate some type of negative feelings with a person or place for whatever reason, and you're not a murderer. I mean, you're almost a murderer. In some ways, you're worse than a murderer. But so you act out in a different way with your excrement.
Well, I'm sure it was worth it for this guy, the executive.
I mean, he's an older guy. The New Jersey guy, he was like in his early 40s. What's that guy going to do? I mean,
yeah.
Especially like you're in the education field,
right.
You're an administrator. You're around kids. Yeah, you're gonna have to go get another job somewhere doing something, and people are gonna Google you.
It's not gonna be in the education community.
No,
it can't be.
No, you're gonna have to start.
You're working at IHOP.
Yeah, I'm really annoyed at that. Don't get me going on IHOP.
I have a feeling.
Is that an East Coast? Do they have those on the East Coast?
Yeah, it's going to last a week. Like, this was the plan all along.
It's a stunt.
Right. Everyone now knows they serve shitty burgers. But it's not. That can't be the final. It'll be IHOP.
Yeah, I mean, they serve shitty pancakes, too. Like, there's no reason to go into an IHOB or IHOP, any of the above. The only reason to go there
is you're drunk.
When my buddy Spence is... girlfriend was a waitress there when we were like 19 and everything was free and we just go load up on breakfast all stoned and hungover. That's a reason to go there.
That's a pretty good reason.
Get some extra sides of bacon gratis, comped. Get just whatever you want. Doesn't matter.
I remember being in high school and knowing a guy who worked at a bagel place.
Oh, the best.
And then at the end of the day, he would just say, here's like 2 dozen bagels. And it'd be all tough. Yeah, when you're poor in high school, you just think that's the coolest thing. You just sit there and eat 8 hard, stale bagels.
Oh, dude. I used to work at Soup Plantation, as we've discussed on the show.
That's right.
And I'd get off work on a Friday night, and I'd take the leftover muffins. I'd take a big sack of those leftover muffins, and I'd take them over to my friend's house, give them to their mom, and I still to this day, people will tell me, oh, my mom remembers when you used to come over with the muffins.
The muffin man.
Yeah, whatever. Like it's been 30 years. Like they're like, what happened to the muffins? You're not coming over with the muffins anymore. You used to bring all those blueberry muffins over. But the same, I would hook my friends up. I'd be like, hey, just come in the back door. Cause there was like a back patio. I'm like, just come in the back door and I'll give you somebody else's receipt. And you just start loading up on food because it was a buffet thing. So you came through, you paid, and then you were allowed to return and just keep loading up on food. So all my high friends would come in and they would just gorge themselves, much like the bulimic lady did every Sunday on the Soup Plantation food. Ed, it is. Oh, I got to sneeze. Oh my God.
Come on, bring it.
If I hadn't have said any, oh my God.
Are you a hold-in guy?
No, I'm not. I'm a let-out guy. A sneeze is a tremendous reward.
Almost as good as sex.
It really is. Oh, it's the best. If I hadn't have said anything, it would come out. Okay. Ed, it is time. Joining us now, our very own pop culture correspondent. She is just a few feet from me in the other room, and yet has not responded to multiple texts. Think she hears me now.
You want to hear a great tweet from David Cross?
Yeah, I love David Cross.
He just, I guess, you know how you get these notifications? David Cross just tweeted after being away from Twitter for a while.
No.
You get like, oh yeah, you get weird notifications.
I have all my notifications turned off for every app. Go on.
That's pretty good. Yeah. But anyway, it says, I'm back on Twitter. Been a while. Is America still a shining beacon of morality and a champion of basic human rights? Gonna kick back and watch Roseanne tonight if anyone wants to get together. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's so funny. Joining us now, it's everybody's favorite pop culture correspondent. She comes on, she tells us what is going on in the news. I've made sure she's got her own glass of water. Her name is Fancy Sauce. How are you today, Fancy Sauce? Is the mic at the right height? No, don't mess with it.
It appears to.
And you have a bit to wet your whistle, mm-hmm. and you're all ready to go.
Yep, I've been drinking cold brew for a couple of hours now.
Oh, this Ed, you're not a coffee drinker, but Fancy Sauce is a coffee drinker, as am I. But I can't have coffee past, I'd say, 3 p.m. is the cutoff. Yeah, 3 p.m. is a cutoff for me.
Hurts your delicate sensibilities.
I can't fall asleep. And meanwhile, this Kato, Fancy Sauce, she'll have coffee at like 6 o'clock and be snoozing easy at 10 p.m. Like, no problem.
That's true.
Also, she falls asleep in 10 seconds.
It annoys me.
That's me.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying.
Yeah, Michelle gets annoyed with that. Yeah. Call back to our earlier story. Yes. What can you tell us about Brisbane?
Brisbane is on the east coast of Australia, is it not, Kate?
Brizzy's is the capital of the state called Queensland, which is on the northeast coast of Australia.
Yeah, is it Bogan country? It's near the Northern Territories.
Definitely Bogan country. Yeah, Brisbane is also known as Bris Vegas in Australia.
Oh, do they have casinos there?
Yes, the Gold Coast.
Gold Coast, yeah.
Brisbane's Gold Coast is lots of casinos, and it's a bit sort of like a Miami Vegas-y vibe.
So it could be like a trashy executive from that story.
Yeah. Would it surprise you to know that a local resident was serially shitting up a footpath there, which I believe is what you guys call a sidewalk?
I mean, that surprises me.
Anywhere. It also happened in New Jersey, Ed's home state of New Jersey.
I get Homedale, I believe.
This into me. It's like pushing into my hand.
Oh, I need you up on the mic. I need you.
I'm as close.
That's
to
good.
It as
That's
I'm
good.
Ever
right
be.
There. Just how you're doing it. Right there
I
is perfect.
Mic bullied every.
Well, I mean,
every week
we've done this 224 times.
Microaggression.
Let's read some email. A lot of people reaching out this week. Hey, all. Hope everyone is enjoying summertime. Down where I live, it gets extremely warm. See, this son of a bitch, I'll say it in a second. Down where I live, it gets extremely warm, so warm that we spend a lot of time down at the local watering hole, which brings me to my question. What is your favorite swimming stroke? I'm more of a backstroke guy myself, patiently awaiting your response. Your friend, Trav in the Braz. See, he did a thing there, because this guy Trav in the Braz, he reaches out, and he calls himself Trav in the Braz, and the Braz is not a colloquial known.
Nobody knows what the Braz is.
What is the Braz?
Nebraska?
Had we thought of that, Ed?
I don't think Nebraska. We had thought of that.
Nebraska. But he said, now he's giving hints here. He says, down where I live, it gets extremely warm.
Down wouldn't be Nebraska, because that would be.
I feel like a lot of
centrally.
I feel like a lot of our Houston listeners were like, this is like Brazos County, something Braz County in Texas. So I don't know. I'd rather he not tell me, because it's going to be such a disappointment when we find out. Ed, you were a lifeguard. What is your favorite swimming stroke?
I was a pretty good swimmer as a kid.
I believe it. You're an athlete.
I hated breaststroke because it's the slowest stroke.
It is. It's so boring, watching the Olympics.
Like, you work your ass off and you don't go anywhere.
Yep.
And even in the Olympics, it's the most boring. I could never do butterfly.
Tough stroke.
I was a good just freestyle front.
Yeah, just regular swimmer. So you go with freestyle stroke?
That's also known
as the Australian crawl because we invented it.
What, breaststroke?
You invented swimming.
Freestyle.
Oh.
The Aussie crawl.
Oh, the Aussie crawl is freestyle, the Aussie crawl.
Yeah.
You invented the correct way to swim?
Regular. You know, I'm reading this book about Benjamin Franklin.
And you invented that stroke, I believe. That guy's
the best.
He was the best, and he was
flippers, everything.
Yeah, yeah, he was an avid swimmer, and it was the great joy of his life to introduce people to the water and to teach them to swim. And yeah, he invented flippers and little hand paddles and all different. He was obsessed with swimming. He'd be like, "Hey, look, you want to see me swim across this river?" And people would be like, "Yeah, I guess a lot of people couldn't swim back then." And he'd be like, "Look, I'm going to swim across." And he'd be on a boat and he'd just jump out and swim next to the boat. Fucking guy loved to swim.
Love that guy.
I
Sydney, Australia, Richmond, Cavill. You are correct, Kate.
Wow, the Australian crawl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would like to admit now, I can barely swim. Now, let me
I can never do butterfly. That's like, real hard.
Like, I can swim, but I don't know any strokes. I guess I can do the freestyle, but I don't put my head in the water and, like, breathe out the side.
Oh, you're like an old lady?
Yeah, I swim like a bitch. And I go in the ocean. I body surf a lot in the ocean, and I primarily do the backstroke, so I paddle backwards with my flippers so I can see the wave coming at me and I know when to turn around. So I would say,
hold your nose.
If I'm jumping in a pool or something, I might. I don't know. I'd kind of blow it out, I think, when I just. Kate McManus got a good Insta story of me at the beach this weekend, blowing snot out of my nose. That's a good one, Trav. Here's another one. Brian.
I like doggy paddle.
Oh, you do? You prefer doggy. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Brian Edward. Oh, I need to sip. Brian Edward and Fancy. Although I believe this is without a doubt a 5-star podcast, I am unsure whether it should fall into the category of a sports podcast. That's what I tell a lot of people. However, if I have missed something and dong talk is now an Olympic sport, well, this may be a multi-Emmy award-winning sports podcast. These two have an amazing ability to turn any subject matter into dong talk, if not how loud a man comes.
Thank you.
I do not believe you are born with this kind of talent. One has to cultivate it, and these two are masters at cultivating dong talk. So maybe this podcast doesn't exactly sound like it merits 5 stars. Did this guy put this on iTunes? But alas, you are wrong. With 10, maybe 5 minutes left in the podcast, the real star is allowed on the show. Fancy Sauce.
Who is this person?
Unlike these two, he puts these in quotes, sports hosts.
Who's my fan?
Hold on. Fancy likes to interact
send
with
you some edible arrangements.
Fancy likes to interact with other humanoids and loves to tell stories not involving dongs. No matter how hard.
Seems boring to not talk about dongs.
Dong masters.
Every now and again would be fine, but literally.
Brian and Edward
every time
try to take her down the path of dongs and cum volume.
Very passive aggressive.
She plows through her topical subject matter with a mastery rarely heard. Simply put,
Fancy Sauce
makes this the
she's a pro.
Makes this podcast the best around. Yours truly, Canard in Kansas. This is the guy that wrote in with another glowing Fancy Sauce.
And you know what?
Review a couple weeks ago.
We just got murdered by Canard, just like Omar did.
Yes, he got us from behind.
Canard
took us out.
Thanks for seeing me, and thanks for really seeing my struggles
for what you really are.
And my talents, quite frankly.
Yeah, your talent is wasted here. I've been telling you that. Well, thanks for that, Kennard. Kennard, go on, cut and paste that. Go on iTunes and give us 5 stars and cut and paste right. that into the box, because that's an amazing review. I love it.
Right. I might need to.
And by the way, we were
so can you post that today. On a some kind of social platform channel
yes. where I can? So you can be shared. It. It's a lot of words. What were you saying, Ed?
Are you saying the post was long?
That's a bit long.
Hard.
I thought it was pretty much exactly the right length.
It was. Do you? How would you rate its firmness? Girthy.
I'm giving it a 10.
Did it feel like it? Did it feel like it had a good volume. Amount of blood supply?
I'm not gonna get trolled.
Was it? Even, was it veiny?
I haven't even barely said 10 words.
Was that a veiny email? Oh, speaking of dicks, I was listening.
I mean, we're not speaking of dick. That's the thing.
I was listening to Joe Rogan the other day.
Yeah,
and he got on the subject of circumcision. And you should do that more into the microphone.
I didn't do it into the microphone.
He got onto the subject of circumcision, and he got me really bummed out about my dick because I have been mutilated.
Yeah, you have.
My foreskin.
It's
was
a ridiculous thing to do.
Chopped off. Without
it is ridiculous, trend. And yet I did it for my 2 sons.
Me too, because
it's a dumb trend. And you should stop doing
if
that.
If I had been a little older and a little wiser, I wouldn't have done it. But my whole thinking was that I didn't want my kid to have a weird looking dick. And but it's an uncircumcised, an uncut cock is just a normal looking dick. I've got the fucking mutilated dick over here.
Yes,
I got no foreskin. Mm-hmm. And also, he's like, when you have foreskin, you have there's like a little moisture mm-hmm. on the tip of your dick all the time. And those of us that have been cut, we got dry dick. Our dicks are all dried out, Ed. And now it's all I can think about is my dry ass dick. I feel down there. I'm like, oh my God, this thing feels so fucking dry. Should I put some lotion on or something? I got a fucking dry dick, a dry mutilated dick I'm walking around with every day.
I will say in defense yeah. of circumcised dicks,
yeah,
they're much easier to draw.
That's true. That is true. That's a really right? good point.
It's hard to draw yes. an uncircumcised dick.
Yeah, it just it really doesn't. Is. You got to draw the whole foreskin on there
because they're like, "What is that you're drawing?" But when you can draw the clear cut helmet,
right?
It's a lot easier.
It's
to draw.
Known, and then you could put the little. But the thing is, when you're drawing a dick, you're drawing an erect dick. And that would be out of the foreskin. You know, peels back around the erect.
And usually. Dick. When you're drawing a dick, the balls are usually not representative of the way balls are. You
no.
put the two at the base on either side. Yeah. Just
what was that?
Doesn't.
What yeah. was that? Oh.
Yes.
What was that Netflix documentary?
Oh, that was really funny. We never finished
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What was that?
Who drew the dicks?
Who drew the dicks?
Yeah.
Very, I recommend it.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
Satire.
It's so funny that we watched 3 episodes of it.
No, we watched more. We yeah. just, we have a short attention span.
That's for sure. Especially me.
I forget.
And also, fuck Westworld.
I'm still watching Westworld.
Telly Two Putts is trying to get me into Westworld, and it's.
I feel like I have
oh my
to
God.
Because the millennials at work, I hear them like talking about it and like
God.
They know what's going on. I'm like, fuck that. There I'm going to watch it and
watching,
I'm going to know what's going on and I'm going to have theories and I'm going to understand. I'm going to listen to a podcast that explains it to me.
You watched a whole Samurai World one the other night, and I was so mad at it.
I'm
and also, there's never any titties on it anymore. Okay, we got a bunch of email to get to. Miha sauce. Wait, did I skip one? No. We never chat. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank
Un
you.
Pregunta. Whether it be in the office or around my wife's friends, it seems that there is a common theme. If wearing an open sweater while I am talking to them, they close their sweater, basically telling me to stop looking at their chest. This deeply offends me because I wasn't looking in the first place and then wonder if I should have been. So two-part question. One, do women knowingly close their sweater on purpose? B, for the fellas, do you experience the same sort of treatment? John of Fullerton in Huntington Beach. Kate McManus, can you answer that, please?
What was the question again?
Do you knowingly close your sweater when a dude rocks up because you think he's going to be having a examination of your chest.
Oh, like a sweater with buttons?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know why John's hanging out with so many chicks wearing sweaters.
I know what he's talking about. Cardigan
sweaters.
Yeah. You don't?
I just wear sweaters.
Just regular sweaters.
Just regular sweaters.
Right.
I don't really
wraps, have anything to clothes. Things like that. I know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Sweaters. You don't. You're not. You don't really. You don't
get my tits out at work.
You don't wear. He's not saying at work.
Oh.
You know. Could somebody mark the time that 119? You don't typically wear low cut things, but you can put yourself in the position of one of these women that he's talking about.
Yeah, no, I might do that. Yeah.
Yeah, you might do that. And for and the B part for the fellas, do you experience the same sort of treatment? No. I can't say that I've ever noticed somebody closing their sweater because I happen to be nearby. I think your reputation precedes you, John. Ed, your thoughts?
It has happened to me. I can't really? Say it's God, happened
you're
to me
such
a lot.
A fucking creeper.
But that's the thing. I can specifically remember one time our babysitter pulled that move, and I was thinking, I wanted to say out loud, no, I wasn't checking you out.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you got the feeling that you were a creeper when you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So I've been there, and I really wasn't checking her out. At least I don't think I was.
Here's the thing. I am a full-on creeper. Like, if there are some boobs displayed, I'm probably going to check them out. But I think that I'm such a pro from a lifetime of
the game
observing.
Slows down.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when Michael Jordan
was 16. I was 16, I was struggling with that. I remember working at a pizza place, and every time one of the waitresses would write down the order, I would try my best to sneak a peek, and I got caught several times.
Catch you. But it's like when Michael Jordan says, you know, the some nights the hoop just looks like it's like a hula hoop size, and I can just throw it in from anywhere.
Right.
Like that's me looking at boobs. Like I can do it so stealth that I've checked you out. I've sized you up. I've gotten every look I need before you even notice I'm there. Mm-hmm. That's just how I roll. Thanks for that though, John. Kate with a K.
We're going to have to move on.
I heard the phrase. I'd say more people spell with a K than properly. I heard the phrase, quote, "Don't be a frog in a sock about it" on another podcast that I equated to chill out. And I got banned for using it on a Reddit thread. We're back to Reddit.
Wow,
it seemed pretty tame to me, but does it have a particularly harsh connotation down under? That's from TD Buddha in Green Bay. Kate McManus, is that an Aussie phrase? Don't be a frog in a sock about it?
I've never heard that.
You've never heard it. What are some Aussie phrases? Because there's millions. That's fair dinkum.
Dog cunt.
Dog cunt?
But everything is abbreviated and an S played on it.
Yeah, cut sick.
Cut sick, yeah.
We like to say stuff like I could murder a cold one right now.
Oh my God. Amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Means a cold beer sounds good.
Yeah.
And of course, shrimp on the Barbie.
Don't be a frog.
Yeah. Throw a fucking shrimp on the Barbie. No one says that literally.
Don't be a frog in a sock about it.
That's not a nice
Australian idioms. Oh, it's almost, hold on. Australian idioms. Oh, when someone is going crazy, don't be a frog in a sock about it. That means they're
going nuts.
Frog in a sock would go crazy.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't think a frog would like it. Okay, Kate, what is going on in the world of pop culture? A lot of emails this week for you specifically. Very popular on the show.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, it's good.
Send me more emails.
Yeah. What is going on in the world of pop culture? We should do an email. If we get enough emails, we could do. We did a Patreon Q&A, a would you rather this week for the fans, and we're looking to do more Patreon stuff. So maybe we'll do an ask Kate. I know we've done one of those before.
Oh yeah, ask me. I like it.
Yeah.
Patreon, maybe they should submit what they want to hear us.
Yeah. Yeah. So for the Patreon fam out there, anything that you want us to do that might be a little off board for the regular show, let us know. and we'll do it there.
You guys, last week we were banging homeless people.
Yeah. Sex with the homeless, which we all agreed to do. What's going on there, Kate?
I have a mole on my boob. Yeah. I'm worried about it. Wow. Mm-hmm. Get it checked out.
I had to get that checked out by Dr. Brian.
You guys probably already touched on the very sad
Brian's in the house passing of doing examinations.
Tony Bourdain.
Yeah, we
full body exams.
What a bummer.
Yeah, I talked about it. I was very emotional about it.
After the fact, was it known that he was going down this path, or what, like,
well, I was
people
just
close
reading,
to him or no?
Yeah. I was just reading something that Rose McGowan wrote together with Tony's girlfriend, Asia Argento.
Yeah.
And apparently she says, I know before Anthony died, he reached out for help, and yet he did not take the doctor's advice. Mm. So kind of
which
intimating that maybe somebody had recommended some antidepressants or I'm not sure.
Going to a facility anything.
I saw a headline saying that she was saying, don't blame Asia Argento. Was anyone blaming her?
Right. Well,
yeah, I went on her Instagram and there was a lot of
There were some pictures of her taken with another guy that she looked, I think they might have been holding hands earlier in the week, some paparazzi pictures. But it's also my understanding that Tony and Asia Argento had a had an understanding that they were together when they were in the same city, but it was rare that they were in the same city.
Evolved.
Yeah. And so when they weren't in the same city, they could do their own thing, which is, you know, it's like the zip code rule, which I thought that was everybody's rule. You're in a different zip code.
It's certainly my rule.
The rings come off when you just,
married.
Yes, exactly. It's like a get out of jail free card. We talked about it earlier. A terrible tragedy. He was a god to me. I loved everything he did.
And why couldn't it have been Jared from Subway?
There's so many people.
Right. There's tons of people that really would be great if they did that.
There's plenty of people we could do without. Kate, what is going on a lighter note? What is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in Fancy Pop?
Well, Vince Vaughn got a DUI.
Oh, I saw that in Hermosa Beach.
Manhattan Beach.
Fucking rookie mistake, dude.
He's kind of smirking in his mugshot, which is like a baller move.
Dude, take an Uber. No one should get a DUI anymore. We all take Ubers.
Get a DUI. So like 2010.
We live in the suburbs here, Ed, and when it used to be cabs, it was impossible. Someone had to be sober all the time to drive you because there's just a cab would never come out here to get you. They just don't do that. Now with Uber, I need an Uber all the time. And I got a car here in 5 minutes, any day of the week, any time of day.
When you pull up that grid on your phone, you just see looks like sharks swimming around.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
They're everywhere.
Always a ride for you. Yeah. And you're rich as hell. You can afford a $30 fucking car ride, guy.
And then I guess he and his passenger were uncooperative and like refused to get out of the car at first. So they were booked for as well as a misdemeanor DUI, obstructing an officer. So public intoxication.
Was he like, you're so money. You're so money and you don't even know it, Trent.
I went to a Knicks game 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and they were filming a scene from a Vince Vaughn movie where a guy has to have the winning shot at Madison Square Garden, and they told everybody at halftime, this is what's going to happen, and everybody should cheer, so they have the crowd shot, and the dude missed like 25 shots in a row. And Vince Vaughn is like, he's his dad, I think. It was that sperm donor movie. There was some.
Oh, I didn't see it. It's a high stress situation, though. There's 16,000 people watching you.
Yeah, so they get this actor who's supposed to play a guy on the Knicks, and he hits the winning shot, and he just kept missing it. People just started booing, and they had to like get on the PA, and I think maybe even Vince Vaughn's like, come on, you know, he's trying his best, and people were really
pumped. Was it like a half quarter?
No, I think it was just
like a 16-footer.
I think it was like a curl around the key. He just kept missing it. And but
oh, like,
I don't know. That was a Vince Vaughn movie. Like, I just remember that.
Catch and shoot coming off a screen? Stop and pop?
It was like, I think it was just like, coming around the curl and hitting the winning shot.
Unbelievable.
And then he runs to his dad's arms because his dad was the sperm donor. It was about like this guy who was a sperm donor to like 500 people. And then they all sought him out.
I find, what's his name? Vince Vaughn delightful. I think he is a talented comic actor.
I know it's a well-worn thing, but I do like the fast-talking
He's stuff. Great. Mm-hmm. He's great at that. But I will say this. Sometimes
– he's got a very unique thing going on.
Sometimes gets the bags under the eyes a little bit. You know? He's just sometimes. Like – he doesn't
– night.
He doesn't always look the healthiest, but I've
seen him in person.
I'm a big fan of his work.
At a bar.
And I'm also a big fan of the work he did on Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah. What he up? Got in while like – Well, it's still good.
About that. What up, Vince Vaughn? High five, brother. Mm-hmm. Okay, what else is going on, Kate?
Other People in Trouble with the Law. Dukes of Hazzard star John Schneider.
Oh, yeah. Beau Duke.
Oh.
Is going to be spending a few days in jail.
Really?
For failure to pay spousal support.
Oof.
He was given a deadline to pay more than $150,000 in delinquent alimony.
That's a lot.
And transfer his property to his ex-wife.
Ah, that sucks.
Elvira.
Yeah.
To make good
the mistress, cool if the in mistress court, of the dark. Like,
and he was just like, nah.
Yeah. He probably doesn't have it.
You never believe how the Duke boys are going to get out of this one.
So my question is,
I was
is,
more of
like,
a Wopat guy myself.
Pay
me too.
Your alimony and stuff.
Yeah.
Like what? You can just do 3 days in jail. And like
no, he still
hours
owes
of
it.
Community
He's
service?
No, he still owes it.
So that's just like you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But you still owe
like
it.
You got to pay your debt to society for having to go to court, and you still got to pay this woman. But I mean, how? What's this guy doing? Like, when's he been
well,
in
he
something?
Wouldn't have been ordered to running pay that moonshine, money if that right? wasn't part of his like wealth.
Well, here's the problem. Sometimes alimony is awarded. Take, for instance, there's a big star in the 90s, in the 2000s. This guy was the top of the game.
Brendan Fraser?
I'm just saying.
I didn't know it was a guessing game.
Certain people that... And these people...
I'd say
the look Brian just gave
these
me.
People get a these people get a divorce when they're making all kinds of money, and then... They got
to
pay.
Go back to court and like redo your.
Not as easy.
Assets are as frozen as Encino.
You go back to court and you like renegotiate. You're like, I don't have money anymore.
Luckily, that Brendan Fraser's had a rebirth. He's in things again, but he's not making $20 million like he was before.
FX show Trust that I've been watching. That I also watched like 3 episodes and then forgot.
He's a good actor. He's a good actor. I'm just saying it's. These spouse, this having just because you're married to somebody for more than 10 years, you shouldn't have to pay them, whether you're man or woman. You shouldn't have to pay them money for the rest of their lives.
The stupidest.
It's crazy. Okay, Kate, what else?
Here's someone that apparently can afford his alimony slash is desperate to move on from his estranged wife, who's kind of really dragging her feet on their settlement.
Perla.
Perla Farrar, he asked a judge to sign off on a settlement that would entitle her to over $6.6 million.
That's a lump sum.
Yes.
But that's not all he's paying her.
Yes. He's agreed to pay Farrar $100,000 a month in spousal support until she dies or remarries with a $6 million equalization payment.
Yeah.
So that kind of like evens things up between. She also gets to keep a 2014 Range Rover, a Mercedes AMG, and a Mercedes GL450. They
now
were
is,
married
is
for 13
Slash
years.
Slash really small or Perla?
I don't think Slash is a big dude.
And also she's 42.
Oh, okay. Did you do air quotes on that?
Okay, ladies.
Let's not shame here. Unbelievable. We need to raise all women.
He's also agreed to pay $39,000 a month in child support.
Yeah, they got a couple kids.
So anyway, Slash is apparently very.
He's got money. He's got dough.
And they're back on tour again, right?
Oh yeah, they've been on tour for like a couple years now. They hashed it out, and they are making money again. Mm-hmm. What else, Kate? Well, good for Slash. He's got a lot of money to pay out. Good for better for Perla.
Celebrity engagement.
Yeah.
Pete Davidson from SNL.
This is a weird story.
After literally weeks of dating Ariana Grande.
Who talks like this? This is Ariana Grande. I'm giving her a huge
diamond ring. They're both 24. This is a rebound relationship for both of them. This is
who's the guy?
He's on Saturday Night Live.
He's a comic on SNL.
His dad died in 9/11. Just drop your mic stand.
I thought you were saying somebody else. I know, Pete Davidson.
Good luck. You should always get engaged when you've been dating somebody for 2 weeks.
Good job.
That's an idea.
Good choice. I got some Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Finally.
He's got like an ongoing beef on Twitter with someone called Chief Keef.
Chief Keef and 6ix9ine going at it, huh?
And then he's got this dumb like rider, and one of his list of demands for his European tour. Hold on. He's got a European tour.
That's shocking to me.
It kicks off this week. Yeah. So there's the usual like fried chicken and meat tray requests, but he also has demanded a copy of Chief Keef's CD, Bang 3 Part 2, in all of his dressing rooms. Which I think is just a way to troll his rival.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he's also demanded 69 bags of Skittles at each stop, as well as
dude is always on brand.
Yeah, he is. These kids are raising the internet age. They know what to do.
As well as chocolate chip cookies, 3 packs of Trident gum, 2 bags of M&M peanut M&M, and 1 large bag of Twizzlers.
So, wow. Twizzlers.
I haven't had them in years, but Skittles, I remember kind of liking.
Trash.
Like years ago, but 69 bags.
That's too many.
Seems like a lot. I could never finish a full bag.
That's every night or every other night.
M&M's, you could pound a bag. Skittles, you can't. You can't do one bag, let alone 69.
I took my kid and a bunch of his friends to the movies this weekend, and I took him to the drugstore beforehand so we could smuggle candy.
Of course. And
his friends bought all this candy, and then they were sitting in the row in front of me, and I was like I didn't get anything for myself, of course, because I'm an adult, but I was trying to tax the kids for whatever they had. And like one kid gave me some Milk Duds, and Milk Duds, this is a pretty shitty candy. Like it's not, wouldn't even be in my top 50. And I was trying to tax the kids, and they had all the shittiest stuff. Red Vines, crap.
Red Vines.
Nerds is the worst candy there is. I was able to get a couple Swedish Fish, which were okay, and a couple Sour Patch Kids.
I'm a fan of Swedish Fish.
Yeah, they're not too bad. But, I mean, overall, the selection, there was like 7 kids there, and I was only able to tax 2 or 3 of them because they were the only ones that had anything decent.
Vines. What kind of monster was that?
Trash Vines. Kate, what else is going on?
That's my roundup.
Oh, my God. So glad to have you aboard.
I thought you were going to say so glad that that's over.
Looks like we made it.
Oh, that's a great song.
If you Google Chief Keef, you're not seeing a lot of pictures where he looks like he would do well on the SATs.
I've never seen Chief Keef. But I've seen Tekashi 6ix9ine, and Chief Keef 6ix9ine comes up.
Exactly, 6ix9ine. Chief Keef. These pictures, he looks like kind of like Radio with dreadlocks.
Yeah, this one he's in jail stripes.
I don't see that one.
Oh yeah, there's one. Yeah, I feel like it's like the rules that you have to have a beef now. Chief Keef dated Selena Gomez.
Wow.
I didn't see that coming. Unbelievable. Okay. Excellent job all the way around. Kate McManus, thank you for your work.
Hey, anytime. Happy to do it.
Ed Daly, as always, fantastic job.
Well done, us.
For Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, for the amazing Anthony Bourdain. My name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 224 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Thank you.